Good morning. I'm from Georgia Southern University, and my colleague, Dr. Gavin Colquitt, is also here, who helped with this project. Dr. Langdon is just became a new mom a couple of weeks ago, so she is not at APHA. But our what we did is pretty similar to the previous presentation, but what we want to focus on is some of the discussion as far as the policy implications and then just collecting this type of data through rural school districts. And what we only did, this was kind of a one-time small-scale thing that we did with one school district because, and I'll kind of talk about this in a minute, but there's a new policy in the state of Georgia that's going to be mandating the fitness gram for students. So we wanted to try this out last, I guess it was fall 2010, that we collected this data to, well, one, to help the PE teachers in the school district kind of practice doing the fitness gram, and also to see if we could find any associations with academic achievement. So we have no relationships to disclose. And as kind of mentioned, it is, in the previous presentation, it is really important for health professionals, both public health and school health professionals, to advocate for quality physical education programs in schools. Looking at the relationship between fitness and activity and academic achievement can provide these professionals the information needed to advocate for better interventions. And so this project focused on a preliminary assessment of the disparities in physical fitness and academic achievement among rural populations. We worked with one school district in Southeast Georgia. We'll get into some of the demographics, but about 80% of the children are on free and reduced lunch in the school district. So it's which kind of created a low SES area and low levels of parental education, et cetera, which kind of created some issues with data collection. Just some background information. One of the reasons why we think this is important is just the most of us hopefully know about No Child Left Behind and the implications that's had on physical education programs, just decreasing the emphasis of PE in schools because it's no longer considered part of the core curriculum. And healthy people, in 2010, 2020, we know most of us hopefully are aware of the overarching goals of eliminating health disparities. And No Child Left Behind is similar in the fact that it's focusing on the educational disparities of subgroups. Healthy People wants to focus on the health disparities of these same subgroups, but they're kind of conflicting in a way that No Child Left Behind is wanting to focus on these educational disparities, but there has been information, literature published that, you know, we can't even look at academic achievement gaps unless we first start addressing these health disparities that are seen in public schools. In Georgia, like I mentioned, we now have what's called the SHAPE Act, and this is basically requiring, starting February 15th of 2012, is that all certified PE teachers are to administer the fitness testing to their students that are in their classes at that time, and we'll kind of talk about that in, when we get to the discussion. We are excited to have this policy, but there are definitely some limitations because of this policy as far as I guess from a policy standpoint. And what's going to happen is that the scores for the individual students will be sent to the student's parents, so the parents know where they are at a fitness level, and then the PE teachers will be uploading the student's data, so that way the state has basically district and countywide data for each of its school district or county areas. The next few slides we're just going to talk about what we do know and what we do know from the literature. The CDC published a review of literature that basically said that, or highlighted factors that are related to fitness and academic achievement, and some of these are the things that it highlighted. Human learning, what we do know from several studies that that have been done is that physical activity does increase cognitive functioning. However, whether or not physical activity has an effect on achievement or academic achievement is still unclear when we look at all the studies that have been done. So just the need of doing this more and more and trying to figure out if we can find a relationship. We do know that when we have school-based interventions, you know, increasing time in PE is not taking away from their academics. It's not hindering their academic performance. That was mentioned by the previous presentation. We also, there's some new movement of trying to do some class-based physical activity, meaning doing exercise in other classes, doing basically active learning, like how science can integrate physical activity, math can integrate physical activity, and how that actually increases student engagement in the classroom. Time spent in PE does improve academic performance according to these the studies done by these individuals here, and then looking at school comparisons as far as a school having more PE than another school, the school with the more PE had better academic outcomes. Why do we still need to look at this? Well, again, there's still some kind of unclear information in the literature whether or not physical fitness does have a significant effect, or does fitness predict academic achievement. There are some studies out there that say we need to look at other things other than fitness, like looking at socioeconomic status, cultural factors, some of those built environment issues, not just physical fitness. But there have been, as this is becoming more of a hot topic, there's been more and more interventions done, and probably even large-scale studies like the Texas Youth Fitness Study, which was done in or published in 2010, looking at things from a school level. So they looked at Texas schools and their standardized test, which is the, I think it's the TASP test. Anyway, when schools' fitness rates increased, their likelihood of being exemplary or recognized, that's how Texas recognizes when you're passing their academic achievement test, also increases. Okay, so what we did, again, we'll talk about, we had a low sample, and this was kind of complications about collecting data in a rural school district, so we'll talk about that in a minute. But we had 239 students from one school district in rural Georgia, and then the school district here in Georgia, we have one elementary, one middle, one high school, so that's the school district. So the numbers of students is still pretty low. The mean age range was 10 to 16, and we had a pretty even split of male and females, mostly males. We, of course, use the FitnessGram because this is what's recommended by what the state of Georgia will be using with the SHAPE Act when they start that in 2012. The PACER was used to test cardiovascular endurance, push-ups for strength, curl-ups for endurance, sit and reach and trunk lift for flexibility, and then we did body composition through a bioimpedance analysis, so testing body fat. And then we also took height and weight so we could also get BMIs. The CRCT is a standardized test in which Georgia uses. Classifies the student in three different categories, either do not meet, which is below 800, they either meet standards, which is 800 to 850, and then they exceed standards above 850. We, of course, obtained IRB approval. We had informed consent forms signed and returned. It took us about 2 weeks to collect all the FitnessGram data on the students in the school district, and then we obtained the CRCT scores from the school district in which we were working with, and then we ran some Spearman correlations, and then those that were significant we put into a regression to see if there's something predicted math and reading achievement scores. So the demographics is a pretty even split. This is pretty representative, though, of this county. Mostly white, but we still very pretty closely would be African American and a white population. Low Hispanic. We did have only 1% of the population tested being classified as Hispanic. Most were considered normal weight, but we did have about 31% that based on BMI would be classified as obese. This slide just tells of basically overall who passed each of the different tests, who failed each of the individual tests, and then broken up in white, black, and Hispanic. And then at the bottom, it's their CRCT scores on those who meet, do not meet, or exceed expectations based on overall, and then also broken up into race and ethnicity. Okay, so what we found some correlations with academic achievement and trunk lift, curl ups, push ups, gender, and race. And so they are statistically significant, but they are kind of lower in correlations. When we looked at this put into a regression, we didn't really find any significant predictors when we looked at the category for not meeting and meets expectations. But when we looked at does not meet versus exceeds expectations, the only significant predictors were race and gender. And this is for reading. This is for reading only. So we didn't find any fitness predictors when we looked at this test. Mathematics, we had correlations with curl-ups and push-ups and race. And when we looked at does not meets versus meets, race was the only predictor, but again, the odds ratio was very small, that it really probably didn't mean much. The does not meets to exceeds expectation, again, race was a predictor, but it was, again, a very small contribution. But students passing the curl-up benchmark were about 2.5 times more likely to exceed expectations than those failing the benchmark. So basically, what this means is that, or what we, through our, as we've kind of been trying to look at what all this means for us and us as people who are interested in school health and also public health professionals. Well, one, we do know that with this population that we were working with, majority of the students did have a normal BMI. Most of the students were passing the standardized test. However, there is a disparity between black students compared to others that are in the do not meets expectations. And there is a disparity when we look at black state students versus other groups when we look at the PACER test. Of course, we had a small sample size, and we'll talk about that on the lessons learned. So that could probably account for kind of the smaller associations and small predictors. We had a, even though it's pretty representative, the county we worked with, their Hispanic population is a little higher, so we just didn't get that population represented very well, but I think that there are some other implications as far as, we'll talk about those in just a second. We feel that we do definitely need to still keep looking at fitness, but we need to also look more at physical activity. And the reason why we say this is that, and this is just because of the implications we feel the SHAPE Act is going to have. The SHAPE Act is saying, like I said, all certified PE teachers have to test their students with the fitness gram, with the students who are taking PE. And that is basically the catch. They have to be taking PE at the time in which the fitness gram is being administered. When you get to middle and high school, when high school only needs a half a credit of PE, that's going to limit the students who have to take, and that's also the same policy in middle school. So really the only population you're going to get some good information on is elementary students. So though it's great that we are moving towards trying to get a policy like there to have some type of a, I guess, accountability for physical education programs, this is only partially, there's just so much more that needs to be done. And so we're trying to, there's a group in Georgia that's super excited, and they basically feel like their work is done. We've got this policy in place now. But unfortunately, with such shaky ground of not really knowing if or having some unclear information in that's been done in various different school districts on whether fitness actually predicts academic achievement, or is it physical activity that predicting academic achievement, we're basically putting all our eggs in one basket. And we just want our physical educators in Georgia to be aware that we need to be doing some more to advocate for more time in physical education and not just focusing on the fitness testing. So, and then also we need to look at just health from a broader aspect. I mean, there's literature out there that say that basically the more risk behaviors that a student has, the poorer they do in school. And that's not just physical activity. That's, you know, stress, that's asthma associated, things like drinking, smoking, you know, just other risky behaviors. Those are also, we need to kind of look at those factors and what those mean for academic achievement. So what we learned, public health research with rural school districts. Well, I guess I'll skip kind of to the parental communication. We tested every student in the school district, which was probably over 1,000 students. However, we were only able to use 239 because that's how many informed consent and assent forms we got back. A problem with that, of course, was we felt the readability. Because this is a rural school area, a rural area, Dr. Colquitt got several phone calls on a daily basis from parents wanting to know what we were doing. Not understanding what the fitness gram was, not understanding, they thought it was going to be some invasive test that we were going to be coming in and doing, and not realizing that this was a part of basically their PE class. Had a lot of implications on, the data that we had. So that, you know, when you're working with a rural school district, you need to really kind of also understand your parents and tailoring your informed consents and things to that population. We were able to develop a great relationship with the administration. The administration was very supportive in the school district. It was the teachers that were a little bit more hesitant. But, you know, with any practitioner, when you're kind of going in and kind of taking over their kind of area, they are a little less likely to help you out. So we learned that we definitely need to make sure that we focus in on the relationship with the teachers and not just the administration, even though sometimes the problem is the administration's not supportive and the teachers are very supportive, but we kind of had the flip-flop relationship. And we do think with this study, if you're going to try to do something like this, and especially with the fitness gram being required for students taking PE, we think that there needs to be more education at the parent level and not just the PE teacher. Because our teachers are also undergoing that staff development on how to learn how to do the fitness gram appropriately and how to make sure that you are getting accurate data, but the parents need to be aware of really what the fitness gram is and why the school district is doing it. We did, because we were able to work with the school district, we were able to plan the data collection, like I said, the entire school district in 2 weeks because we basically worked around their schedule. So we did have some good things that we did well, but we learned some things when we're working with rural school districts that need to be improved when you're collecting this type of data, especially with when parents are unaware or unsure of really what you're doing with their students. Okay, any questions?